There's a new kind of podcast for Bitcoin maximalists that isn't just more of the same macro circle jerk promoted by PodConf. And there's one podcast that's dominating the charts. The Rock Paper Bitcoin Podcast with Fundamentals and Business Cat is that podcast. Listen as two non-compliant plebs from Pennsylvania talk about their lives, Bitcoin, and finding signal in a noisy world on Fountain FM, available on Android and iOS. And as always, make sure you boost them sats.
Welcome to the Bugle. Welcome to Behind the Podcast. Is that what we're going with for the name, Richard? Anyways, you may not know it. If you listen to his Bitcoin podcast or you follow him on Twitter, But Fundamentals is our guest today, and he's a big fan of comedy, and he used to be a comedian himself. And last time we had him on here, we talked about comedy. And that's probably what we're going to talk about again. How's it doing, Fundamentals?
Doing fucking good. Great to hang out with you guys.
How's your bull market going?
My bull market? Well, you know, dude, I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, I do feel like we're just getting started here. I'm genuinely concerned. So first of all, I'm the only guy that comes on your show and doesn't do shtick, like trying to, you know, be in on a joke. I really do try to be myself, even with you assholes. You make it hard. But I'm actually genuinely.
Well, the personality is really not that much different than ours. So I guess
it's true. Like, I am actually fucking bull market. I'm genuinely concerned about, you know, I don't know. I try to have a winner's mentality, but I get concerned just about staying focused, staying on the rails. Like, I feel like this thing can get so out of hand that, you know, it gets very distracting.
What does that mean for you, though? Does that mean that you are buying MicroStrategy call options?
No, fuck.
Are you selling volatility? What is getting too caught up for you? Is that just listening to too many Bitcoin podcasts, or is it like are you a trader? What's that?
No, it's my productivity, really. It's my personal market risk is unaffected, really, by any of this. It's just more my productivity, which is, you know, my time. You know, it's like you can really lose your time even though you're in this game, right?
Yes. But I think that to be a good Bitcoin podcaster, you have to not be worried about the value of time, of your listeners' time. How do you manage? Whose time are you wasting, or whose time are you optimizing for?
Well, I'm definitely sucking people's time down on Twitter and on Telegram, on the Telegrams, especially when we're really running. You know, I really like to fuck with people who are. I think there's a lot of people who still they kind of live and die by the price, and. You know, I want people to have a bigger view and just like, dude, you know, the price is nice. Scoreboard.
But the price is all that matters. And that is, you know, true on a lot of different levels. But more importantly to, you know, an idea or a theory that you have, which you were talking about in the group chats, that Satoshi was Jewish. And you believe that Satoshi is Jewish in part, and it's we can go into it deeper, but he understood that, you know, the people who control finance and culture, the Jewish people, they would not be able to miss or ignore a price that just keeps going up. They would not be able to ignore a currency that made everything cheaper, that made it easier for them to negotiate, that haggled things down over, you know, a shorter period of time.
Great segue, by the way. But But so I think it's a fascinating idea. I think it's fascinating to think about this, and I find it hilarious to actually think of all the listeners being now forced to think about this. But Satoshi Nakamoto, being a collection of Jews, I think is, I don't
Ashkenazi?
Know, is worth, well, they would definitely be Ashki for sure. But, you know, so think about it, right? So first of all, right, I think this all started with us talking about, oh, so just somebody being obsessed with prices going down all the time, right? I mean, I don't think that's inherently Jewish, but somehow,
I think
you know,
it's not. I think they just like to see it. I mean, who doesn't like to see prices? I just think Jews like to see the price go down.
Me too, yeah.
I think they just appreciate it.
I'm pulling
know?
A
wee. That's it.
But yeah, proverbial wee. But we like seeing prices go down. That makes a lot of sense. It just makes sense. Like that's just the way the world should be.
And Jews love to make sense.
Fuck
they
yeah.
love making sense. They are penny pinchers. Yeah.
That's right. Well, we like to hold on to the sense. It's not that we
make any, you know, any passive income they can get. If making sense is their passive income, they'll take it.
So yeah, this idea of I got to credit Goomba with this one little nugget where he said also that Satoshi never spent a single sat, and that is a massive point in support of Satoshi being Jewish for sure.
Right. Very frugal.
Also created something that rewards.
I think Satoshi just didn't want to pay high transaction fees.
Yeah, well, he created something that rewards frugality, right? So he wanted to reward frugality. People that are frugal win, right? And people who can't resist, you know, they kind of lose. And yeah, he even created a mechanism to haggle for block space.
Oh yeah, Jews love to negotiate. What's that?
How do you resist NGU?
Ooh, that's a good one. How do you resist it? I mean,
yeah.
I think
you were just talking about not getting carried away with the price action. So
how do you resist me getting caught up in it? Or how do you resist? You know, I mean, you can't resist it. You have to accept it. It just is what it is.
Well, I mean, right? there's been so many people that have been building so diligently in the bear market. They've been fighting, they've been building, they've been arguing, they've been stacking. And now all that work is paying off. And they want to go on vacation. They want to enjoy it. They want to do the victory lap. They want to spend too much at the conference. They want to feel like, you know, they've made it.
They want to give selfies with Michelle Weekly.
Yep. How do you resist the temptation to just rest on your laurels and go on vacation for the duration of the bull market and spend all your stack?
Well, that would be unwise. You know, I think people should live their life. They should. You know, I think we should be creating circular economies. We should be trying to build with our friends. You know?
Yeah, but how do you tell somebody when the price is going up $10,000 a week or a day? How do you convince them to do boring shit like build circular economies or, you know, self-cost? Yeah, it's like, how do you not just be like, hell yeah, brother, this is another bull meme?
This might be the first time people are able to afford going to a yacht party with Dennis Porter.
I don't think
they've been waiting for this moment their whole lives.
In 2020, in 2021, people, a lot of millennials, it was a great year on Instagram for people to take a picture because they bought a house, and they would all the sign that said homeowner. And that same kind of trend I see next year happening with people being first-time taxpayers. They're going to be like around and like posting and like sharing and like putting on their cards, like holiday cards for their families. Like I'm a first time taxpayer. Like they're going to hold that sign up. And like, this is all due to NGU. It's everything. It's like too good to be true. Their lives are becoming great. They're paying taxes. They're getting rich. How do you keep them focused and let them understand that you still have to learn how to use Sparrow Wallet and you still have to consolidate your UTXOs and you still have to like build circular economies and listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week?
These are the 10 commandments, like you're mentioning them. And like, you know, trying to actually cause NGU is like trying to play God. So I think, you know, people should realize they, you know, man-made NGU, like, oh, I'm going to go convince some, you know, like what I think what Dennis Porter tries to do is actually playing God. And he's riding a very dangerous line.
I mean, do you think other people will attempt to play God, that they're going to start getting some NGU withdrawals, the price of Bitcoin goes down a little bit, and they take to Twitter to try to do a breaking announcement to get the price go up? Like, so Phil from New Jersey, who just started his Bitcoin podcast and has 600 followers on Twitter.
Phil Murphy? That's the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah, Phil Murphy, whoever. They go to Twitter to announce some sort of breaking news, and it might not actually be true. They might not have any breaking news. They do an announcement of an announcement to get people to FOMO and to buy Bitcoin to try and pump the price.
Or to pay, like, pay me 3 Bitcoin and I'll give you the actual announcement early.
Like, how do we verify an announcement of an announcement is actually legitimate?
I think you might have to tokenize the announcements on a blockchain. Maybe you could do that on Tron.
You know, I want to circle back to the Jewish Satoshi narrative here and your theory. One of the popular, like, our friend Mark Goodwin and his girlfriend Whitney Webb, they believe that that Bitcoin was created by the CIA and it has been co-opted by the, you know, intelligence state, the pedophile intelligence state. However, what you're saying actually means that can't be true. It means that it is, you know, a Jewish psyop, not a CIA psyop, and that Satoshi knew that the CIA was it was a centralized risk. If the United States fails, so does CIA, so does Bitcoin. So, but the Jewish diaspora is decentralized. It is, you know, it's new stranded energy. It can continue long beyond the CIA's control.
Yeah, well,
like
so,
Tether, for example, can prop it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the diaspora is a great example of decentralized, how you survive with decentralization. So, like, for the last 2,000 years, you know, they couldn't just break into every basement and burn every Torah in the world.
Who's they?
They?
Who's they?
People always ask, who's they? I don't know who. I mean, well, I would have said like the Romans in the, you know,
in the year
70 AD, right?
Then the WEF.
It's whoever really was looking to, you know, I mean, look, let's face it, right? When the power of, like, Christianity, the power of Christ compelled the majority of people in the world, we'll say, or the majority of people in the Western world, you know, it wasn't that cool to be Jewish, you know? So, like,
do you think it's cool to be Jewish now?
If Satoshi turned out to be Jewish, I think it's going to be pretty cool.
So that would be pretty cool to be a Jewish boy with curly, with a curly fro. But
I think it's pretty fucked up to be a Bitcoin podcaster.
Yeah.
I think it's actually kind of fucked up and confusing as shit to be Jewish, especially as a Bitcoiner. I would guess mileage varies, but I think it's super fucking confusing. And
I'm surprised there's not more opinionated people in Bitcoin Twitter about circumcision and whether circumcision is good or bad. I feel like that's something Svetsky would have a chapter in his book about.
Maybe he does. The Bush of Bitcoin? That was
the Bushido. Does he think he should circumcise? Or no, I don't know. I just think that would be a bigger talking point, considering all the other things that people argue about in this space.
I'm moving against it, personally.
So Jews against circumcision.
I'm just like, I don't get it. I guess it's kind of like I'm against pretty much every medical intervention now. That same, you know, like I just don't trust any of it at this point. So why would I trust the circumcision?
you don't trust the medical intervention, you are more into like CBD.
I like CBD. Yes.
CBD and like cow organs, pig organs, things like that.
Dude, I ate lamb testicles this morning. I'm strong.
When was the last time you puked on your podcast because you were eating weird animal organs?
I ate adrenals. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Right. It's better than taking blood pressure medicine. Yeah.
For sure.
right. That's very interesting.
It happens. It happens. Well, you gotta eat the organs. What's that?
I think it's a good time to be a Jew.
It could be. I guess it's a good time.
Israel's winning. Israel's winning.
I don't think so. I mean, I think they are. Right?
Well,
are you got some like liberal case why winning war is bad for you?
No, I just
like, the winner of the war is the actual loser, actually. No, I'm just kidding. I just I'm curious.
I don't think they are certainly not winning in the world of public opinion. I think that they have a problem. They have a fiat problem, right? So the whole creation of the state was by decree, and it's pretty much the whole way it's been defended. And I think that when push comes to shove, and when those structures fall apart, I don't think it's gonna be long for the world.
Well, so if Israel adopts a Bitcoin standard, at what point can they drop that fiat that fiat decree hanging over their head? How long do they have to be on the Bitcoin standard?
The idea is so absurd that it might just work. It's just the idea is so it's like so nuts, right? Like, why would they do that when they survived because of a fiat standard? It's literally the key to their survival. So I think the second they adopt a Bitcoin standard, they go bye-bye. And
do you think that it's going to be hard to convince people that Bitcoin is better than fiat if they realize how great fiat seems to be going for Israel? Because they're
it's
winning
going
wars.
Pretty good for them.
They get
it's going pretty great.
They get, yeah, it's going great. Like that, if Israel comes out with their own stablecoin, like that could be dangerous.
Interesting.
What if Israel funded their next war with the meme coin?
Or convertible notes.
That would be better than funding it with dollars and abstract dollars. Right? Like it would be a little more fair for them, at least if they're funding it with some shitcoin. They're not, they don't get to put their foots on the necks behind the US dollar.
I don't think that it would be the craziest headline that you would have read in 2024 if Israel tomorrow decided to fund their military operations using Hawk2a coin.
I don't think that would be unreasonable at all. Especially, did you guys remember when I couldn't believe, and I tried to shout this from the rooftops how Hawk2a turned out to be Jewish? She actually out to be Jewish. She did this thing.
Right,
she took
because
the DNA
she
test.
She could not ignore the rise of the price of Bitcoin.
It's true.
Satoshi was correct, yeah.
Very unstereotypical, unstereotypical Jewish female to really care about lubricating that thing. But, when she did the DNA test and found out, I can't believe there was really nobody jumped on it. It was a little disappointing, actually. And I only started to see Hawk2a being Jewish become a thing after she ran the shitcoin.
Yeah. Stoney definitely zoned in on her after that.
Yeah, I say, shame on you guys for not jumping on that before all that happened. We should have celebrated that fact, and then we can now shit on her for whatever, for being a Jew.
I don't think there's anything to shit on her for.
I can see why. I don't think it's fair to shit on her for being a Jew. I think that it's fair, though, to shit on her for behaving Jewishly. It's not well to be a Jew, but she handled the situation too Jewishly. And
meaning like, in that, I'm going to go to sleep now. That's beautiful.
Yeah, just, and it's... whatever people want to ascribe to her.
Well,
she brought it up.
People need to give her a break. So seeing as she's Jewish, that means her ancestors went through the Holocaust, right? Which
not necessarily only
entitles her to launching a meme coin.
Don't know that. We not necessarily.
I think that if you have a certain amount of, and you could prove it, Native American heritage, he should be able to be accepted. So he'd be like owning like a casino on, an Indian reservation. Mm-hmm. He should be able to launch, one or two meme coins. It's better than free college at this point.
If you're like explicitly Jewish and you launch a shitcoin, I think people know what to expect. Right?
Right. I think degenerate gamblers.
Gentile shitcoin. What should we expect? That's different.
I think that, look, you have the history of the Rothschilds, fractional reserve bank.
My listeners are very familiar with the history of the Rothschilds, trust me.
Failed sons. I'll specify, really, the failed son Rothschild generation. Pretty despicable.
And you do not have to tell us about George Soros, trust me.
And then Soros and his shitty sons and all these guys. Okay, this is where it gets confusing. Because it's not like there's anything in the Jewish handbook that tells you this is how you run scams, or this is how you dominate people with money or anything like that. It's a feeling. there happen to be a couple of guys that have amassed pretty large fortunes and have kind of.
It's not illegal to notice that. I think Stoney, we should all just say, I think, you know, we can, I want to know your opinion about anti-Semitism, but I think that we could all agree, just my like, don't be anti-Semitic. It? Don't be anti-Semitic. Just let us just, it should not be illegal to notice things.
No, not at all. In fact, I really welcome discussion. I think I despise the gayness of like the laws that make it illegal to talk about. It's like that is they're trying to get Jews killed in this world, you know? Like this needs to get discussed for the sake of civilization. Like we need to really talk about this shit. And
We need to stop we need to stop ignoring the elephant in the room, which is like the question, why does everybody want to kill the Jews? You know what I mean?
That's a big elephant, you know. It's a fair question. Like, why does that happen?
Why do you think everybody wants to kill the Jews?
Well, let's see. I would tend to say a lot of it comes from the experience that people felt when they found out that Jesus was killed. You know, I think a lot of it fucking originates. I think if that didn't happen,
I never held that against him.
We'd have a different view of.
Were the Romans Jewish?
These people, the Romans. No, Jesus was. You know, he was a pretty good one, but the best one probably. He's probably the best Jew that's ever been.
Is that a controversial thing to say?
Well, I think it's controversial that like when people do all this noticing, they only notice the shitty ones.
I think that's a good point. I think that Jesus is a Jewish hero, and sometimes you have to kill your heroes. You can't grow unless you slay your heroes, and the Jews did that, and
they did do that. Well, they did.
You have to give them credit for that, I think, if nothing else.
No, I mean, you don't have to literally kill your heroes.
No, not literally. No, no.
Maybe we learned that because of Jesus. We learned like, oh, that was a mistake. Like we don't have to actually kill them.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just different times back then. Yeah. It was just different times.
We could have just been metaphorical.
They didn't have the Dennis Porter of human rights back then. So it was just a different time. Nowadays, Alex obviously,
Gladstein,
you can't.
Alex Gladstein probably would have had a lot to say about that.
I think Jesus truly was the Dennis Porter of his time. That makes sense. Because essentially, Dennis is the vessel that communicates between Satoshi and humanity, right? And Jesus came to Earth to communicate between God and humanity.
Right.
Jesus did Jesus make people?
Probably.
I
don't think that was as much of a problem back then, though. They didn't have as many seed oils, you know.
Right.
They also didn't have like a lot of porno. Mm-hmm. So if Dennis Porter existed back then, guys would be nutting everywhere.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, they probably didn't need a whole lot of help getting hornier. That's for sure. Like maybe this is why in Muslim cultures they require women to wear burqas, because they listen to Bitcoin podcast, they hear Dennis Porter, and they don't have porn. So they need like a barrier to just stop them from nutting everywhere, else society wouldn't be functioning.
Right.
That's
kind of like overdosing on NGU.
Yeah.
Right. But don't you think that...
Why do we have porno?
Don't you think that the animosity... of Jews by Christians, don't you think that should have been settled by the Crusades? Don't you think we should be over that by now?
You would think, but it's like, it's not, though, right? Clearly, in my opinion, I don't think. I think that it's not. It's probably not conscious. I think it's like been just put in the DNA but for at the 2,000 years.
At the same time, is some of Israel's closest friends and allies and supporters are American Christians.
Israel, Israel is a bit of a bastardization of Jewishness, just, you know, like...
But that's the meme, right? Like, everybody's got to have a logo. The Jews' logo is the Israeli flag, whether they like it or not. You know, not everybody... Some people are really... There's people who are fucking proud of that logo, and there's people who are not proud of that logo. But, like it or not, that's their logo.
I think the logo is going to change to the Guy Fawkes mask.
Do they need a new logo? Should they rebrand, maybe?
The Satoshi mask.
If Israel goes on the Bitcoin standard, that's the only way Israel can change their logo, is if they go on the Bitcoin standard. That's the only way.
We might have a shot.
That is it. Maybe that is how they earn through proof of work a new logo.
If they basically said, listen, we're getting rid of this Star of David, and we're going to adopt like the Satoshi mask as our new logo, we might have a shot at
peace. There might be like a Tether thing in there too.
There's
a dollar sign somewhere, but it doesn't have to be the biggest thing.
I think the way to make that happen is you have to change the world one synagogue at a time. You know what I mean? You got to go and you got to orange pill.
Make your synagogue a Bitcoin meetup.
That's the nature of decentralization. And I think, the Marxists knew this too, right? And I think the Marxists understand they have a big head start on the Bitcoiners in going in one synagogue at a time.
Yeah, it would be, that is where people should be building circular economies in their churches and in their synagogues. But no church, no synagogue is perfect. It seems like sometimes they set up building circular economies, they build tunnels using Monero, and that's not the way to do it. You want to do a compliant circular, semi-compliant circular economy, compliant to your culture, not the state.
I feel like saying that you can't build tunnels is culturally insensitive, personally, but that might just be me.
I mean, technically, what I said about Marxists is probably it's probably the closest thing to actually anti-Semitic. And
what did you repeat that?
I was just saying that the Marxists had a head start on the Bitcoiners, understanding that they really going synagogue by synagogue, understanding that you get into their hearts and minds.
But it's how Marxism spread.
But it's also the, I mean, it's also the reason, like, if there is a real reason why, like, countries resist Jewish immigration, is this is becoming not funny, but, like, it is because they're afraid of fucking radical, they're afraid of that shit.
They're afraid of, like, Columbia students.
They're afraid of, basically, Marxists, right? I mean, you know, they tended to be, they tend to be associated with.
That's why I think it's good that Trump got elected, because Trump's not afraid of communists.
Yeah. We agree. We just was like, fuck that shit. And, you know, we need
people who are not afraid of the communists are fucking nerds and they're easy to beat up. Like, you shouldn't be afraid of them. You can bully them. You can stuff them in lockers.
That's the advantage. You can just stuff
communists in lockers.
They might have gotten a head start, but they're very easy to just kick the fuck out. Like, all you need is a couple of focused people per synagogue, and you can kick the Marxists out and transform. You can transform it.
Right. Like the everybody in New York learned that we have to live together. And if we have to live together, you have to optimize for that. And everybody learned in New York that the way to be safest in the subway is to always be near a racist white boy. And so maybe a synagogue just needs enough racist white boys that it kind of keeps the communists at bay.
I think you need one that's willing to hold it down.
You guys have a really good chin.
Just one. Yeah, like, you know, if you have that one and it's just that makes everybody else uncomfortable. It's
right.
It's that, healthy.
Well, it's like use your anxiety as a positive energy for your life. It's like use your fear about a racist white boy to, like, keep everything safe. Keep the security.
You know, when I grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know, the Jewish adults I knew were unapologetically, I'm not going to say racist, but certainly bigoted, you know? They're unapologetically bigoted. And I don't know, you're just like, okay, just put themselves out there. They put themselves out there and didn't apologize for it.
One of the things you said on one of your recent episodes of Rock, Paper, Bitcoin, you were telling Business Cat that one of the great things about hyper-Bitcoinization was that it was going to make racism great again. And you were, like, excited. You were, like, teaching your mom or your grandma, like, Grammy, you have to learn how to be racist again. Like, this is the racism renaissance is coming.
It's going to make it accountable. So if it turns out that your brand of racism is actually smart, you'll actually win. And if it turns out your brand of racism is stupid, you'll be poor. And I do think hyper-Bitcoinization will make it accountable. I think that's one of the big problems with fiat, is it's totally unaccountable. And so, yeah, you can have a problem with racism and it's not entrepreneurial. You don't, like, it's basically, yeah, I would call it discrimination, not racism. I would say discrimination is,
like a very successful, profitable way to be racist, like Andrew Tate, for example.
Andrew Tate, yeah. Fucking the guy who just basically was like, what the fuck is wrong with Bitcoin? Because it's the only thing everybody wants. And so that's a big problem now because no one wants to invest in anything else.
Yeah.
That was his big rant this
morning. He also tweets the N-word a lot too. So he knows what he's doing. But back to the question. How do you feel about, it's going to be a great time to be racist again, but that's going to include anti-Semitic. So if you're thermodynamically sound with your racism,
I think it has to get worked out. I think people who want to be fucking anti-Semitic should be allowed to do that. People who want to be fucking racist should be allowed to do that. I mean, who the fuck is anybody? Really, who the fuck is anybody to tell somebody else what to think, right? It's just that in the world, there are, you know, the economy is an accountability mechanism for good and bad choices. And, you know, let it all fly and let it all play out. And maybe we'll learn that the anti-Semites are right because they maybe it's very profitable for some reason, and maybe we actually learn that. I don't know. And then, you know, maybe we got to figure out what's up at that point.
Yeah, I think that in a lot of ways, like Bitcoiners love the bull market and the price going up because they get to go to their friends and family and say, look, I was right. And I think Stoney is a good example, right? Of somebody who's, he's been through enough cycles. He's already gotten to do that. He's already gotten to tell his family, look, I was right about Bitcoin. But what he's really waiting for is to be able to be like, look, I was right about the Jews. And I think that would be a big moment. Yeah. Yeah.
I like Stoney. I do. And I've like,
do you think that that he's bad or good?
I like
him. As a Jew.
As a Jew, I'm okay with him. I think that he calls things the way he sees them. And he sees this a certain way, and I see why he does. And, I see things the way I do because of my life experience. I've been, we've all grew up with fucking PSYOPs. Okay, I've had the PSYOP of fucking being Jewish and being enculturated and that shit. And it's like I'm 50 years old and I'm still working my way out of it. And everybody, I think, is a function of how they've been PSYOPed, right? And I have no issue with somebody like him. He occurs to me as honest. I think he tries to be intellectually honest. And I feel like if I met him, I would have a beer with him and we would talk it out.
Well, I think that the solution is right in front of our faces. I think that, for a long time, like Bitcoin, we tried to ban racism. We tried to ban Bitcoin. We tried to just ban anti-Semitism. But that doesn't work. So now everybody's kind of capitulated. But what we need badly is regulatory clarity and how to be compliant. Do racism compliantly. How can I be racist and still keep my bank account, still keep my job, still keep my podcast? Like, what is the regulatory clarity? How can I be as racist as possible without breaking the law?
Well, one of the concerns I have is because racism has been shunned so much up until Trump's selection, where now it's safe to be racist again, we don't have any credentialed racists, you know what I mean, to be setting these guidelines and standards. So it's kind of
ran all the credentialed racists out. I mean, even David Duke is not allowed on X anymore. But now we need a new round of credentialed racists.
There's a lot of credentialed racists that are still in business, but they're They're on
like
the View Harvard, and MSNBC.
Like, like the Ivy League race. Not Ivy League racism is out. That's out. We're going back to the early day, the people who grew up in the early days of the internet and unmoderated forums like that. Those people are the credentialed racists now.
We have to let we got to let these people be heard. Otherwise, they end up like Roger Ver complaining like a fucking martyr that they've been censored,
Libertarians,
It's fucking bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to like take over and rewrite the regulate. You need to be a cantillier to the regulations of how to be racist if you want to succeed. And that's what Bitcoiners will get when they get control of the money, right? Like the capital will flow to the people who have best, racism policy, the best layer, the best compliance in that sense.
I mean, I was just thinking, like, we can't let our best racists end up like Roger Ver with some psychotic idea that they've been censored when they've just been wrong. We have to let them talk.
Tony Hinchcliffe had a pretty big moment this selection cycle.
He had a big moment. I would say that he kind of blew it, right? I mean, he's like a pawn that almost got to the other side of the chessboard, but he didn't tell a good joke frankly. And that's like his only crime, honestly, is just it wasn't funny.
But sometimes you remember the unfunny jokes more than the funny jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get it. I just don't think like that. I think that he basically blew it and they're not going to give him another chance. Like the next time. They're going to let somebody else take the at-bat.
I don't think Tony Hinchcliffe is ever going to get a 11 a.m. 5-minute spot in an arena for the president of the United States. I don't think he's going to get that type of opportunity anymore. I think he's just going to get different opportunity.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So, I think, look, by the way, I hate the term racism. I hate the term anti-Semite. I hate a lot of them.
Trust me, if you get called racist enough, you hate that word too.
But it's like, people should just be honest, Like people should just be honest, and sometimes that honesty takes a form of, it just takes a form of not liking somebody and wanting to fucking shit on them.
I'll take that one step further. I think that you should demand racism from other people, because sometimes life is uncomfortable and sometimes life is racist. And if somebody is not willing to be racist, they're not always willing to tell you the truth. So you should demand racism when racism is, fair to bring out.
But, the thing is, I think this is the problem the left has, right? Like the woke left has right now is that they're manufacturing. It's like they're demanding it. They're manufacturing it. They're printing it, right? They're printing way more than people want, right? They're creating a supply that far exceeds the demand, right?
Yeah.
And it should just, be organically honest discourse. People need to build thick skin and how to have fucking difficult conversations about.
Right. I think
people should be mean. Okay. I think that's okay. Right.
I think in the future with all the manipulation and psyops that's going to come from AI don't trust ChatGPT or AI if it won't be racist or if it won't tell you to smoke cigarettes.
It's a pretty good policy.
So
I want to be seeing racism in PodConf going forward.
Ooh, yeah.
Say that again.
When do you think racism in PodConf? Like, when do you think we're going to start getting racist Bitcoin conferences?
I doubt we will ever see that from PodConf
or racist Bitcoin podcasts.
I think that would be wild. I'd say that'd be fucking wild.
I would love to listen to racist Bitcoin podcast personally.
I feel like it could get old, but I wouldn't mind just seeing the spirit of just people willing to
I want to listen to Legion of Skanks once or twice a month. I don't need to listen to every episode. I might want to listen to a racist Bitcoin podcast once or twice a month.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think if the account, as long as we're on fucking fiat standard, I just don't think it is very helpful. I think once we are, hyper-Bitcoinized, we have a good accountability mechanism, then fucking bring it, dude. Fucking bring it all. And then let's see. Let's see who makes it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
I think any group, any community, there's racism, anti-Semitism, bigotry in the Bitcoin community. But I think one thing that makes us better than fiat, at least, is that there's no sexism in the Bitcoin community. And that is at least one thing that we've been able to fix with hard money.
I think that's right.
Yeah, right. I've just never seen I've never seen any instances of sexism in this community. And this I've been on a raw. I've been to a lot of things.
This is another thing we talked about, right? I think it's true that when a woman is on birth control and they're orange pilled while on birth control, they end up launching a shitcoin.
Is that what you think Hawkwood did?
I think so. Yeah. I think she was orange pilled while on birth control and her hormones attracted her to
Honestly, people who are against it, thank God for birth control. Can you imagine Thank God Hawk 2 was on birth control.
I don't know, man. I mean, I would like to see her squirt out a few kids.
I mean, until she's married. You'll...
I mean, she'd. I can't believe I can't immediately think of a Tua fucking pun for her kids already. But like, I'm sure she's thought of all of them.
Sure, sure, yeah. I mean, those kids are gonna be like, "Wow, my mom was a fucking crypto all star, a Bitcoiner. She free Ross, among other things." But now we're just on the topic. We got sidetracked.
Well, it was the whole thing about, you know, when women are on birth control, they meet the wrong men. That was like the
idea.
Right. Absolutely. And then they find that out. So it's, but I think when women are orange pilled while on birth control, they end up being shitcoiners.
Do you think that women are crabbier or less likely to enjoy bull markets if they're on birth control? Mm. They're more attracted to bear markets for some reason.
I think when the bull market is on, it's just fucking, you know, we're strong like bull. And it just, everyone's happy, especially women.
That's a great point. I wanted to go back to NGU. We talked about overdosing on NGU. It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that NGU affects everybody differently. Like, there's some people who, you know, like Joey Diaz, he used to go on Joe Rogan and he would eat like these Death Stars. It'd be like hundreds, that, you know, like 1,000 milligrams of THC and these edibles. And he would just like podcast, like give, like, he would just be able, he'd still be funny, keep going. And he would just go about his day, drive through LA on 1,000 milligrams of weed. There are people with low enough time preference that can handle like a crazy amount of NGU and a crazy amount of Bitcoin price volatility and just like not even post any bullish memes, like not even be affected by it. But there's some people like the people who think they get high from CBD, who it's like they make 1 or 2% gains in like an hour and it's like they can't handle it. They got to like go and be in a room by themselves. How do you manage that? Like, when you're around people, how do you be that shaman as an experienced orange pilled Bitcoin podcaster? How do you be that shaman to help guide them through NGU?
I'm the prize, man. I am the prize. You know, that the reality is, you know, we're not going to be, you know, you're not selling all your Bitcoin, right? You're not selling all your Bitcoin. So it's not that impactful. All it really means is that we can dunk on the people that shit on us. You know, it's not that, you know what I mean? It's not that impactful. Like, I guess you're right. There are people with such a high time preference that they, every time Bitcoin has $1,000 candle, they do the math in their head about how much more money they have, you know? And then they probably get big dopamine surge. And then when we,
what do you mean they have more money? One Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin.
Well, I'm saying that when you have a high time preference and you're priced probably in dollars, right? You're doing that, you know, doing that math in your head, I guess, and you're measuring your wealth that way. And I think you keep your eye on the prize, like you said. Yeah, one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. We don't have you want to keep stacking sats. And the reality is, it's not that meaningful, really, because it's so fucking early and there's no rails to do anything with this shit. And there's a lot to build. Like, there's a lot to fucking build. And if we're not there building it, none of this is going to matter really that much. And so for me, it's very easy not to get too caught up just because there's so much to fucking build that it's actually, I find it insane, right? That people go crazy over. I find it insane that anyone would spend a millisecond on MicroStrategy's earnings, you know, and they go crazy over, you know, a couple of good days in the market, you know? So yeah. That's how I do it. You just keep the eye on the prize and you realize the world's a lot bigger, you know, this just got a lot less funny, but the fact is, you know, we are not even close to really being the dream is so far fucking away. It's so far away and it's not a price that's going to deliver the dream. It's going to be building the rails.
It's going to, but price is going to, for a lot of people, that's a bit, I mean,
it's going to facilitate.
One of the things, one of the things Bitcoin podcasters like to do is act like, you know, the price is no big deal. But we know it's a big deal. How do you, what's your selling point? When are you going to sell? When are you going to sell 10%?
Well, I don't know.
Or, you know, I mean, whatever, you know what I mean?
I really don't know. I mean, I could tell you that I don't have any plans of converting.
My son was going to buy a PlayStation so he can play video games at 250K. Do you have anything like that?
Well, no, but I do spend Bitcoin a fair amount. You know, I'm shout out Otis Bittmeyer. I'm buying some coffee tomorrow. You know, I mean, I do like to spend Bitcoin when I can, especially with people who are fucking awesome and make good shit. But I'm not waiting, or I'm not. Look, I'm older than most of you. I'm older than most of you, and I made a lot of money in fiat, and I already really bought myself everything I ever fucking wanted, to be honest. So that's probably why I don't get too excited about the price. I'm already over, I was over that before I got into Bitcoin.
You were over the fiat and you were ready for something different.
Well, the world, I know it sounds fucking cheesy, and I think grifters say this a lot, but I really am I'm focused on my kids not having to go work for evil people and building something for them.
Are they orange pilled, have you not been able to orange pill them yet?
They understand Bitcoin. They like it. But if I told them they had a wallet with like 2 million sats on it and all they had to do was figure out, they wouldn't be able to figure out how to move it. So,
okay.
There's still
my
a lot
question
more.
Is that is, you know, that is the battle that we all face. It's like we are building generational wealth, but how do we convince, you know, our kids and our grandkids if they don't learn how to use, an unchained multi-sig wallet, or they don't understand how to use a cold card, they're not going to get the generational wealth.
They're going to be shit out of luck.
And we're not saying that anything else for them. You know what I mean? It's like, want your narratives, you got to learn, you got to memorize 12 words, and they don't seem to care.
They don't, but it's this thing's only 15 years old. So we don't know. Satoshi told us nothing of how to pass this on to a child. And there's really no archetype. You know, I did this on the last Rock Paper Bitcoin, where I said, there's only two archetypes in all of Bitcoin, which is you have the guy that disappears, or you have the guy that fucking flames out and hubrises, you know, fucking with hubris just goes all shitcoin, right? Those are the two archetypes we have. So we don't have an archetype for like the guy that figured out how to fucking get his kids to understand Bitcoin. And, you know, especially if you're already old and you know, they spent most of their life in the fiat world, and there's not a lot of, I don't get a lot of help. So that's yet another reason I don't really get too excited about price either. Because like the work is teaching my kids, and it's a long hustle.
How do you keep your kids from shitcoining? How do you keep your kids from taking your cold card inheritance and immediately, you know, putting it on wrapped Bitcoin or selling it to buy Monero? Like, how do you prevent that from
happening? I can't. Right?
Like, what would the conversation look like if one of your kids stole your credit card and signed up to Coinbase and bought Dogecoin? Like, what would you do?
Well,
would you make them listen to Bitcoin podcasts?
Definitely. I would basically make them listen to, I would just force them to listen to the Bugle over, like the same episode over and over. I'd make them listen to my podcast. Go through. I mean, that would be quite the crisis. But then again, that would actually show me some initiative. That would show me a lot more initiative than they're taking right now. Which is, you know, they go to a meetup now and then. But they're not, like, my God, if they actually took my credit card and bought fucking Doge with it and figured out, you know, they'd actually have to open a wallet, right?
Imagine if they went to all that effort and work, but it was to actually use a Dogecoin wallet instead of use the cold card that you've prepared to give them.
Well, at least they're learning at that, you know, they're learning more than what's that?
Would you feel better if they took it into self-custody versus if they put it on a custodial wallet? Would that change your response?
Yeah, it would. I would feel much better if they took it into self-custody. You know, we can then have a conversation. Like
one of those conversations.
Do you trust them to consolidate their UTXOs?
No, I do not. I do not. I feel like they would be DCAers.
I just think parents have to have conversations with their kids about shitcoining in, like, you know, your kids are gonna have sex, right? There's like a very high probability, unless you intentionally turn them into orange cells, which is possible. That might be one of the best ways to prevent your kids from having sex, prevent them from shitcoining. You turn your kid into an orange cell, but most parents haven't done that, so you have to sit down with your kid and have a conversation of, hey, I know you're going to shitcoin, but here's how you shitcoin responsibly. You know what I mean? You're going to experiment. You're going to go through the trouble.
I would, you know, if my son wanted to shitcoin, it's like, I would rather him do it at my house with me there to, like, you know, make sure he doesn't ruin his life than just, you know, be out doing it, you know, on public Wi-Fi or somebody else's house or on their phone on Robinhood.
Mm-hmm. So here's where you guys are wrong about this. Okay. This is parenting 101 here. Your kids don't need a friend to shitcoin with. That's not what they're looking for out of their parent. So, like, I know they may do this shit, but they will always know it's not okay with me. You understand? And that is important.
What if your daughter had a boyfriend or a husband who was a shit coiner?
That would be better than a no coiner. So I've told my daughters, don't even introduce me to a boy unless he's got Bitcoin. And they've asked, what about shit coins? And I said, that's better than fucking being some fucking non-free.
What would you do if she brought somebody home and when you were like doing your greeting, he sent you a card that had his NPUB on it. And he had, not only was he a Bitcoiner, but he was active on Noster. And he even had group chats. Like, how proud would you be?
Well, I feel pretty bullish on the relationship. Like, that's, you know, that's definitely the way to get my attention, for sure.
Are there certain shit coins, though, that would be deal breakers? Like, your daughter brings home a boy.
Up to a coin, probably.
He's wearing a breaker. Well, what if he's wearing a XRP Monero shirt?
Oh, yeah. Ripple.
Yeah, or Monero. Like, if he's a Monero guy, you know you can't trust him because he's trying to hold secrets. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And, you know, think about it. Like, if somebody experimented with Litecoin in college, or like maybe they dabbled in some Ethereum, did some DeFi shit, whatever, like, they're not anybody, but like, if they're fucking addicted to trading XRP, or they're fucking like BSV, Bcash, they're big blockers, or, you know, just, they're big into fucking Polkadot, like, all right, dude, like Polkadot, like that's pink. Why is he Polkadot? But you know, whatever. Is there
Shiba Inu?
Right, like if Shiba Inu is like, maybe she's just dating like an idiot like Gronk. You know, like do the shitcoins matter? This is a good question.
Not as much as being a no coiner. I'd rather a shitcoiner than a no coiner. Because I feel like I can rehabilitate a shitcoin.
What if it was, you know, somebody who just had a lot of MicroStrategy stock? They didn't actually have Bitcoin, but they had a lot of MicroStrategy stock.
Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out.
So you don't think it's going to save the insurance industry?
Well, it might save. It might help. I mean, look, dude, do we really want to talk about this MicroStrategy thing now?
You sound like you do.
Yeah.
if you had to ask, remember what I said, a Bitcoin podcaster should never assume his listener's time, like time preference. You know, if you have to ask, no, talk about it.
No, I mean, look, MicroStrategy, I'd rather have a shitcoiner than a MicroStrategy bro, for sure, show up to my door with my...
Why? Why would you rather have somebody who is like trading Polkadot and thinks Chainlink is and Cardano are going to like revolutionize the world instead of somebody who understands the creative value of the Bitcoin purchases to MicroStrategy equity? And then
I think I can find out in one conversation how far away that person is from being rehabilitated than a MicroStrategy fucking idiot. So that's really what it comes down to, is like, I feel like I can assess a shitcoiner better than somebody who operates strictly in fiat.
You don't want somebody who thinks they understand fiat debt markets better than you. You want somebody who thinks they understand, you know, their, you know, crypto universe.
Oh yeah, dude, nobody thinks, I mean, the shitcoiners are the kings of thinking they understand this better than us. And I am more okay with like accepting somebody like that potentially into my family than somebody who operates strictly in fiat.
What if it's Tether?
Even if it's Tether, the same deal, right? It's a matter of like, Tether is better than being a fucking no. I can convert your
At least you know your daughter's dating somebody who's not spooked by FUD. You know what I mean? You want them to be at least, you know, tough.
They need to be over the Rubicon of being just a fucking fiat slave.
For sure.
If they're using Tether, which chain they operate on? So like, is there kind of like a scale that'd make you more comfortable? Like if they're using
like food stamps being issued on Tether on Tron.
Do you care if they're using Tether on Tron or Tether on Liquid or Tether on Ethereum?
Or an Algorand.
You guys are giving me a lot to think about.
Solana.
There's a fair likelihood my daughter will listen to this podcast. So I think this is good. This is a good conversation. This is going to save me a lot of time, actually, talking it out with you guys. Clearly I think that a guy who's using fucking Tron is going to be harder to, I'm not exactly that welcoming, but all I'm saying is that guy is going to be better. He's at least going to get a shot with me over somebody who, again, is all fiat and basic no coiner, you know, even ETFs. Sorry.
Will you require them to convert fully to being orange pill before they marry your daughter?
I don't know how. Here's the thing. I don't know how much fucking say I really have in all this, right? So like the ADIQ answer for me is like, just if he has Bitcoin, that's gonna eliminate a lot of the problems. Okay. It's not gonna eliminate all the problems, but it's gonna definitely eliminate a lot of the problems. That's the good to me, that's like the best ADIQ answer, right? And you know, I feel like I will take it from there at that point in time. Now, you know, I think I have a lot to do with how this person turns out anyway, right? So if I can get somebody that's at least close enough to where I want them to be, I can take it from there.
What are your thoughts on anybody who whether it's you and your wife or your children and their relationships, tried to like resolve problems through religion or pharmaceuticals or through therapy instead of letting Bitcoin fix the relationship?
That's a red line, dude. A red line. We don't trust professionals to, first of all, who the fuck
are you going to go? You don't trust credentials.
Don't trust. Well, no, I don't. Well, did I say that I don't trust credentials? I said I don't trust professionals.
Maybe I'm conflating the two, but.
But yeah, I wouldn't trust a credentialed professional to settle a problem in a personal relationship. By the way, like, and if you can't, like, what are you going to do? Tell them that you have Bitcoin and like, oh no, well, you know, doctor client privilege. I'll never tell anybody. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, if you can't even talk about any of that.
Tell your therapist how many Bitcoin you have. That's a big
mistake people I think are making. A lot of Bitcoiners are making that mistake. They think they can trust their therapists and their attorneys and their doctors with this information. And they're basically just KYCing themselves with these people.
Yeah, you don't want KYC therapy. That's for sure.
Yeah, so that's a red line, right? I was going to say when you asked if they're like, if I'm okay with them using Tether on Tron, I was going to say, well, are they vaccinated? You know, so like, I think they better not be, you know, like, my God, thank God, like, I kept my children from being vaccinated, right? We're going to bring that shit in now. So like, I think if I got a good Bitcoiner, I don't have to worry about, I feel like a lot of things get handled.
Would you directly ask if he was vaccinated, or would you try to indirectly find out just talking about it?
I think it's pretty easy to figure out. Where'd you go to college? That's the answer to that question will probably reveal,
it's true.
Whether or not, because, well, especially if they're in the same age as mine, because like 90% of the fucking colleges in the country required vaccination.
Right.
And I know like all of them that didn't.
So I think it'd be cool to do a list of like what characteristics in a man you hope your daughter finds. So like top tier, bottom tier. So like the top.
What kind of hardware wallet would he use? What kind of Bitcoin podcast would he listen to? Like, what is the ideal? It's, yeah, you know, Bitcoiner that you are, that you want for your daughter.
Yeah, I mean,
BTC Session, Sam Kill, and Stony. Like, what are we talking here?
Those would all be fine choices, but you know, they're on the older side. But yeah, I mean, I think those are all good archetypes to bring a son into my family.
Oh yeah.
I would have no problem with either of those if somebody who is akin to those three guys.
So maybe we could do like a top tier, middle tier, bottom tier.
Son
so
material.
Bottom tier is like the cutoff of what you'll accept.
Right, what about Robert Breedlove?
Oof. Oof. Well, I have to tell
just
you.
Just which tier, I guess, would you put him in?
In terms of sun material, it's bottom tier, my friend.
Bottom tier.
So he would be acceptable, cool. But you wouldn't be excited about it.
I wouldn't be too happy about it, given
but it wouldn't
what, his
be
last,
like a,
what his last wife had to say about him. I wouldn't be too happy about it.
What about Shinobi?
He's a no tier.
No tier.
No tier.
No tier.
He doesn't make the cut.
No, sorry. Stephen Lupin, like, top tier.
How would you have that conversation with your daughter? So she comes home, she tells you Shinobi's hot. What do you say?
I say there's more to life than being hot. Lanolin's hot doesn't mean we are going to marry.
That was my next question. What if your daughter came home with, Lynn Alden? What if she had Lynn Alden as hot posters in her room? How would you feel about that?
Well, that would be very interesting. I mean, you know, we have some conversations. Like, so, we all know she's hot, so let's not pretend that this isn't, it's not a gender specific observation, right?
Oh, right.
Are you saying like there's some, I mean, I haven't seen any like Lynn Alden Teen Beat type of posters, you know, super sexualizing her or anything like that. I think she's just hot from like her normal headshot. It's just pretty,
What if she came home? What if she came home with what's the guy, the Yeti?
J.W. Weatherman.
J.W. Weatherman. What if she came out with J.W. Weatherman?
That would be fucking wild. Oh my god, that would be fucking wild.
What if she came out with Madex?
Dude, that would be fucking cool. I'd probably put Madex in the top tier, my friends.
Nice.
What about Terrence Yang?
Oh man.
Would you make her wear a helmet when she drove with him in the car?
Well, she needs a little more experience driving, I'll tell you. So
when she came home with
Pompeo, I'd be fuming. Pomp is Pomp zero tier. No go.
Okay. He's only with a lot of people. This is obvious. Dennis Porter.
I mean, I'll just go back to, like, if you've already, and this baby goes back to Ray Love,
would you let your daughter marry Dennis Porter?
Dude, there's going to be too many fucking rock hard dudes around. I can't have that. I can't have so many hard fucking men in my life.
You think that would eventually be impossible for Dennis Porter to resist?
I don't know, resist. I just think it's unworkable to have Dennis Porter in your life because there's just too many fucking horny men around.
Do you think if there's any woman who could be a good candidate to be Dennis Porter's wife? You think Jessica Hodler could do it? Or Jyn Erso?
Jyn Erso, yeah, that's a good candidate right there. Yes.
Honestly, I could see it.
Yeah, it would be unworkable elites, for me.
Yeah.
Unworkable. Dennis is unworkable. I can't. He's not son. I can't have him as a son. I'm sorry. I can't. It's just like, you know, I expect my daughter to have like seven sons. And
what
I
about James
can't have,
so long?
Dude, I can't have Dennis Porter having them all hard all the time. I just can't.
What about Jameson Lopp?
What about him? But he's like my age. Jameson Lopp, isn't he?
That could happen. I mean, you don't know. Maybe some girls end up being orange pilled by a much older man.
It could happen. Yeah. I will say he knows how to protect the seed phrase.
Sure. YubiKey.
Do you think he's vaccinated?
I would guess. If I had to bet, if I had to put odds, I would say 50-50. So yeah, it would be a pick 'em.
Last one. Corey Clipston.
That goes back to, you can't be a scammer. Or you can't.
Is that an accusation?
Did you just been noticing?
Sure. Exactly. Is it okay to notice sometimes? Of course.
That was a good one. Yeah. I haven't set rules against my daughter marrying Jewish men per se, but you know, I think the bar probably has to be higher in that case. I don't think Corey is exceptional enough to meet that bar. Now I mentioned Luca, like that dude would be welcome any fucking day.
Right. It's like,
he is the model. Model it, fucking sun material right there.
When it comes to a Jewish man or just a Jewish person, they're obviously going to understand Bitcoin, right? Like, we've kind of established that.
So I think they're like one of two. No, they're either going to get Bitcoin or they're going to be fiat, total fiat tools. I think the majority of them are fiat tools, unfortunately.
But don't you think all fiat tools are using Bitcoin at this point, even if not publicly?
You don't think they have the ETF in their 401k?
I don't. But even if they did, that's not having Bitcoin as a tool, really. But I don't think they are.
They are using MicroStrategy.
They probably are. Look, I don't have a good read. I guess I really don't have a good read on Jews because whenever I find out that one of them is super powerful, I'm like, holy shit, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that shit, you know? So I probably don't have a great read on them. So like, if I just go by what I know and what I see, doesn't seem to be representative of what's going on.
Must not be on Telegram. Anyways.
But based on what I see in my communities, none of them are fucking involved in Bitcoin. Almost none.
Interesting.
I mean, look, there's a small percentage of the population, and a very small percentage of the population is using Bitcoin. And I think being Jewish is a bit of a handicap to seeing the value of Bitcoin in general. I think being Jewish has cultural issues that make it hard to see Bitcoin. Like, I think they tend to be woke, liberal, and those are things.
But they all appreciate. Well, they all appreciate prices going down.
Fuck yeah. And maybe yeah. we see, you know, that's the key.
We all know, dude. We all know. It's like, oh, black people like chicken and watermelon. Well, so do I. I love those things. I also love to see the price go down. So it's like, I get it.
That's the common ground we can all fucking get behind, right?
Right. Where we all, yeah, everybody can notice that. And everybody
except Andrew Tate, apparently, who apparently thinks deflation is the worst thing that happens to a society.
Well, he's Muslim, so yeah.
But that's the common ground, right? The common ground is we all think prices should go down.
Very true. Well, before we get to the Elliot, do you have any more questions, Richard?
I'm sure I do. I mean, this has been a very interesting conversation. I think this is the first time we've ever talked about racism together. But yeah, I mean, I wonder if the Jews just have better OPSEC than the Gentiles, you know what I mean? Which is why you might not think there's as many Jewish people in Bitcoin as there is.
Very possible. Like, especially if Satoshi was Jewish, that would be the exception that proves the rule there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jewish people historically have had a lot of reason to practice good OPSEC, you know what I mean? There's been a lot of wealth confiscation throughout history.
They don't really have a lot of OPSEC about being Jewish, right? Or at least the ones that are in the public eye are very
maybe you think that, you know, you don't see anybody in your Jewish community, you don't think they use Bitcoin, but maybe they do, and they just have
that's a good point.
Much better OPSEC because they don't want you to turn them into the IRS and say like, oh, this guy can afford his taxes and he's not, you know, doing it
because your knowledge proves your
last names.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? Did you say coin joining your last name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. I caught that.
Well, I, to be honest, am really tired. I've been surprised. I thought the bull market was going to bring me a lot of energy, but it's just brought me tiredness. I don't know if you guys are experiencing that at all.
Yeah, I think it's just a wear. For me, though.
No, I'm getting a lot of energy. And actually, so I have a small request for you guys. My meetup had a dinner, and we thought we would maybe dial you guys in, and didn't work out. And we're having a celebration dinner tomorrow night. And so maybe you guys want to give them a couple words of encouragement. From Rod and Dick, these guys are. You know what you guys don't have? You don't have a name. I was going to say like buglers, but you don't have like a name. Like these guys, like I was going to say, these guys are big fans of the bugle.
It's the intellectual Silk Road.
Is it? Is that what it is though? Does that work? Does that work really for? That's a potential thing we can talk about for a minute. Like, what could be the name of the people that follow the bugle? It's not that easy to come up with, dude. Like, you know, I talk about fish a lot, and like when there was a big like brouhaha about calling fans fish heads because they didn't want to be like the dead and have dead heads. They thought it was unoriginal, and there were these, there was a whole bunch of camps that tried to come up with names, and then none of them worked, and it just ended up being Fishhead. And it's just like, this is what it is.
Well,
What do you call your friends?
I don't think that is for me to decide. I think it's up to them to decide what they want, if they actually care and want to be called something. If I had to make a suggestion, I think we're Bitcoin podcast listeners.
40-hour club, maybe.
Well, yeah. You know, when I think of a Bugle listener, I think of somebody that is highly informed in ways that other people around the world aren't. You know what I mean?
Who's thinks when Alden is hot?
Yeah. Yeah, they hear the most important ideas and stories before anybody else does. So it's almost like they're front running everybody else. You know what I mean?
I do.
I
maybe they don't need a name. We don't need to identify them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not trying to run a color revolution here. You know what I mean?
It might happen anyway, but yeah, I get it. So anyway, so I don't know. I wouldn't mind giving a shout out to my meetup and our celebration, and just they love you guys, and that's all I wanted to tell you.
Yeah. We know a few of those guys. We interact with them. So the ones that boost us on Fountain, fucking hell yeah, we love you. And where I forget what you said you're celebrating. But,
we're celebrating the 100K.
Oh, 100K. Yeah, that's right. Fuck yeah. I mean, the last episode we did when Bitcoin hit 100K and Shinobi was drinking beer and got hammered. It was fun. You guys deserve celebration too.
Well, we hit 100K today too. So this That's is a true. 100K celebration.
Oh yeah.
Fuck yeah. But you know, you always remember the first time.
We're going to be talking about partying like it's 100K. Because it was a long time of party. Well, all right. So are you ready to read the Fountain Beast? We got Fountain Beast on our last episode. First, I think it's the first time. For
are we doing this?
Podcast.
Okay.
Want to do it? Yeah. I'll start with the Arabic letter name guy. It's 1,000 sit-ups. Our covenant with Peter Todd, a.k.a. Shiboshi something, is what drives us forward. Very well said.
I didn't even realize we got Fountain Boost.
Yeah, we got several.
What do you think Peter Todd's up to right now?
You think he's Jewish?
Some Russian chick or Ukrainian chick?
He's not Satoshi, though, so don't worry. It's not even a relevant question.
If he was Jewish, would that make the odds higher that he was Satoshi?
Yes, clearly.
Interesting.
Well, he was, you know, he did get pretty haggly with wanting to be zapped for his work, if you recall, right? He got a little, you know, he got a little uppity.
Just something you might notice.
For his, you know, for his reports that he wanted, you know, right? He like withheld his reports because he wanted to get, he wanted like, you know, 300,000 sats, something like
that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I noticed.
That's pretty Jewish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is wanting to inflate the supply of Bitcoin Jewish or non-Jewish, do you think?
I think that it's non-Jewish. I think that wanting to inflate the supply is trying to play God. I think that is distinctly non-Jewish.
Well, that's Peter Todd supports the tail emissions.
I mean, that was a big reason why I submitted my bit proposal, is because I was worried that Peter Todd's tail emissions would be taken seriously. My HODL tax proposal. Like, his whole concern is that the security budget is an issue, right? And his solution is to add tail emissions. And the HODL tax is a way to go about things without inflating the supply or, you know, having to do anything funky.
Check it out. It made the
BIP 300. What is it?
The mailing list.
Which BIP is it?
It's in the 400s. I don't even remember the number. We're a few news stories after that. Well, yeah, thanks for the boost. Next boost is from We All Eat for 696 sats. They say, thanks, Dennis Porter. That dude is a pod comp fag hot. LOL, just a bunch of fag hot cunts.
He's the best.
I'm not sure what a fag hot is.
I don't know, but anytime Chet boosts, and by the way, I think he went the last time I was on with you, he was like, who's that faggot? And I'm like, I fucking...
Thank you. Thank you.
The now next it's going to be is... like, who's that Jew faggot? That, yeah. That'll definitely be his boost.
ETC on board. Owen Hans or hashtag CTV. Basted us. Got a double base here for 300 sats. Maintaining compliant Lightning infrastructure that honors our ancestors is critical. Could not agree more.
So is part of the reason why you don't think Shinobi would be a good partner for your daughter, his stances on scaling?
Yes, yes. Too, it's just too gay.
Which part of it?
I'm not a big, I'm not a fan of scalers, even though I like understand, I'm interested in the conversation, but I don't like, I think it's just so early to have a strong view, as strong of a view as he has on it. I think it's just way too fucking early. And it could just be me not being informed enough, but it would cause way too many. It's like having you know, political problems in your family. Like I think like that might be just the problem right there. Like I would just be inviting political problems. I'm not ready to just not ready to fucking battle on that level with my son.
No big blockers for sure. The last one is from who else? Pies. Hired sets.
Pies.
Beer and cigarette emoji.
Fucking best.
Gosh, what a champ.
Right. Thanks so much for coming on, Fundamentals. I gotta run, so I
good
want
time,
to
guys.
Yeah, talk to you guys later.
We didn't get to tell any jokes here, but we had a good, we made podcasting history, I think, on this one.